It's cold, and in the USA, it's fall. I saw all the pumpkins on Facebook, the hats, the coats, the football games. So, what happens here in the fall? Well, lots of rain for one, but fall is when we start over from the beginning. So, every year we have this cycle that we read the first five books of the Bible, and in the fall we start over. So, now we're at the beginning, and we're reading about Abraham. And God says something to Abraham, but what he says to Abraham, he really is saying to every one of us. So God has two words for Abraham. And these two words, they are life-changing. If Abraham obeys these two words, his whole life will change. And in fact, he can't reach his potential, or none of us can reach our potential if we don't do these two words. So what is the two words? In Hebrew, it's lech lecha. Translates to get thee out, or you shall surely go, or go forth. And what it means is you have to leave behind in order to move forward. So we have to become unified with what's on our inside. We have to shed the outer skin. And this is what happens in nature in the fall. So I think it's appropriate that we're reading Lech Lecha, shedding the old skin in the fall. It kind of fits. In nature, you see the shedding of the old and getting ready for new life. You can't move forward until you shed the past. So just like in nature, this is something that happens in our life. There's a Jewish burial ritual that says, know whence you came and where you are going. Okay, it's talking about time to reflect, examine, analyze, question. There's also a proverb that tells us that we should take the time to weigh our way, consider how we got where we are and where we're headed. So God tells Abraham, Lech Lecha, leave your father's house, leave your country, leave the society that molded you. Because the majority of humans are products of their society. And our society that we grow up in, it tremendously influences the way we think. So when someone is socialized, socialization means that you just accept from your society without ever checking anything out for yourself. And like in America, it's capitalism. In China, it's communism. It's just you are who you are because of where you were born. It means like going along with the crowd. So God tells Abraham, he tells each of us to become intellectually independent of the society that forms your beliefs. Okay, so we have free choice, but we never chose to be born. We didn't choose our parents. We didn't choose our ancestors. We didn't choose what country we were born into. But we can choose to do Lech Lecha. So I have done a few Lech Lechas in my life. My ancestors on my father's side were Polish Catholics, so I lived in upstate New York and I went to Catholic school. That was just what I was born into. When I was 19, I moved to Texas and got married and raised six beautiful children, but the whole time I was searching. And I was just searching for the truth, and I wondered if who God really was. When I got to what I consider, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I consider the fall of my life would be like late 40s, early 50s. And so this is at this time is when I really, really started searching. And the question is, can you ever really know the truth about God? Can we know who he is, and did he ever tell us what he wants? And when I was little, I remember my dad and I, we had this tradition. I think maybe my brothers and sisters were there too, but I don't know. I remember I was there with my dad. This was something I did as a Catholic girl with my dad. We went every year to the movie theater and we watched the Ten Commandments on the big movie screen with Charlton Heston. I remember it was late, the movie was long, and I was trying not to fall asleep and watch the whole thing. I loved that story I loved going there and watching Moses, baby Moses. He grows up and confronts Pharaoh, and then all the Israelites are being free from Egypt, and God takes them out into the desert after he parts the Red Sea, and then they receive all their instructions from God. And so I just, that's a really good memory that I have, and I love that story, and I love that we watched it on the big screen like that. So the first instructions that the people got from God, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. That's the first thing. So the whole world knew what happened. God saved these Israelites in front of everyone. He was saying, I am the God you can know without a doubt because I showed you and I showed your whole nation and I showed the whole world through all these miracles and plagues, and everyone in the world at that time knew, even without Facebook, without anything, everyone was aware of what happened to Egypt. Egypt was the big world superpower at that time. And this morning I was reading in our daily prayers, and I just want to read you, it's talking about this. It's just giving praise to God and it's about the situation. It says, the enemy declared, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide plunder, I will satisfy my lust with them, I will unsheath my sword, my hand will impoverish them. You blew with your wind, the sea enshrouded them, the mighty ones sank like lead in the waters. Who is like you among the heavenly powers, God? Who is like you, mighty in holiness, too awesome for praise, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. You guided in your kindness this people that you redeemed. You led with your might to your holy abode. Now here's how it affected the whole rest of the world. It says, peoples heard. They were agitated. Convulsive terror gripped the dwellers of Philistia. Then the chieftains of Edom were confounded. Trembling gripped the powers of Moab. All the dwellers of Canaan dissolved. May fear and terror befall them. At the greatness of your arm, may they be still as stone. Until your people pass through, God, until this people you have acquired passes through. So I'm just reading that to show you that every surrounding nation, everyone in the world was shaking in their boots and didn't know what to do with this debut of God on the world. He comes and he shows everybody, okay, here I am. This is something that without a doubt you can know that this happened. It was millions of witnesses, everyone saw. Okay. So there's four ways that we come to our convictions, and one of them is socializations, and that means that you just accept your convictions based on your conditioning, wherever you were born, that's what you do. If you were born to a tribal family in Haiti, then you'd be practicing voodoo. You just stick with wherever you were born. Well, how good is that? I mean, because it's simple math. If there's like a billion Christians in the world and there's a billion Muslims in the world, and so each religion claims that the other one is wrong. So one way or another, at least 1 billion people would be wrong. So socialization is not a good way to form our convictions. And so that's why God says, Lech Lecha, leave it behind, think for yourself, question, analyze. God says, know what you know. He says we should know. Like, when I look down at my hand, I see 5 fingers. It's not up for discussion. Nobody can tell me. I see 21 fingers. I see 5 fingers. I have complete certainty, you know, or I know with complete certainty, even though I've never been there personally, I know there's a country called China. I know it exists because millions of people testify to the fact that China exists, so I don't have to go there myself and see. I know because of all the witnesses that come forth and say, yes, you know, I see pictures, I see people saying there's this place. So I know, I don't have to say I have faith that there's a place called China. I don't have faith that I have five fingers. Okay, I know. So God is saying, when it comes to him, he's not saying, I don't want you to have any doubt. I want you to know, like, you know, there's five fingers on your hand. That kind of, that's what I want you to know. Now there's a, so there's the four ways is socialization. There's having faith, which faith is like, you have a desire to believe, but you don't have any supporting evidence. Faith would be like somebody gives you a hot tip on the stock market and they say, you know, I guarantee you I'm going to triple your money in 1 month. And so there's a lot of people with good sense that can really get fleeced because there's an allure of this promise. That's faith. Faith is like a leap against logic. It's just, it's our desire. We want to believe, but there's no real supporting evidence. Okay, then there's belief. Belief is you have some evidence, but you lack complete evidence. Like if someone was to say to you, did your brother rob the bank? And you would say, no, I don't believe so. My brother, you know, he has good character. You know, I don't believe so, but I'm not absolutely sure. But then if you're presented with there's witnesses, there's fingerprints, there's a video showing your brother walking in the bank carrying a shotgun, commanding everybody to give me all your money, well, you say, well, gee, I never would have believed it. So belief is not, it's when you have some evidence, but you know some, but you're not completely sure. And that's so of the four things, there's socialization, faith, belief, and knowledge. And of those four things, what God is telling Abraham, what God is telling us is, I want you to leave behind everything, and I want you to question, I want you to seek me. He says, seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart. You should always beware of any system that that doesn't allow questioning. And because we are supposed to never believe in God on faith alone. We're supposed to investigate the evidence. We're supposed to get knowledge. We're supposed to research, study, analyze. We have to know what we know. And this is the first thing that God is telling us. He's saying a lot in this sentence. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. He's saying so much there. He's saying, you know, this is infutable. This is nothing that you have to believe on faith. This is, you know, nothing that you just are stuck with, you know, that you are born into something. This is something that the whole world sees who I am, and this is for each one of us to look at the evidence of who God is. We should always be leery of, you know, anybody who says that this event that happened on Mount Sinai, it's nullified in some way, or it's old, or it's replaced, because God is eternal. And so never before in history has there ever been something of this magnitude. You know, there's people that have come along, they say, oh, God told me something in a cave. Oh, God told me when I was all by myself. This is the only nation that has ever had anything, you know, this point of contact of heaven and earth. You know, when we pray that prayer that we want to do on earth as it is in heaven, this is what this is all about. God came down on Mount Sinai and he said, okay, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how heaven and earth connect. And but the first thing is that you have to know who I am. And you can't, you don't have to have wishy-washy, so, you know, any kind of doubt. You can know without a doubt, like five-finger surety, that this event happened, that God did this for these people, that this nothing has ever happened like this before. And if God changes his mind, he's going to change his mind in front of the whole world. He's going to show everybody, because nobody can come along and change something of this magnitude just by saying, well, that's not true anymore because God told me, you know. Be leery of anything like that. Not one letter, not one jot, not one tittle, not anything can be changed from these instructions that came down in Mount Sinai. And we know that we know that we know who God is. Okay, that's where we're at this week. I just hope you are having a happy fall. And till next time, Heathrow out.